All right. So kids can start working their way on down right now for our children's worship. You can take a sigh of relief. I'm not going to be preaching today. I'm just announcing that. We are honored today by having the minister from Eastside, Lorenzo Brown. He's going to be joining us today. The more I talk to him, he is just a busy, busy man. For him to take his time on out and preach for us today is just a wonderful blessing. So again, Lorenzo.
Thank you, brother. How's everybody doing today? No. See, if this was a Packers game, you'd be standing up and screaming, got your chips and soda. I'm going to ask you one more time. How's everybody doing this morning? That's what I'm talking about. You got to forgive me if I seem kind of emotional because this is something that the vision that I have here, looking out here, seeing a diverse group of people worshiping the Lord under one roof. And as a minister at Eastside Church of Christ, my vision, along with Jonas at West Dallas Church of Christ, is to be able to do what you guys are doing here. Fellowship under one umbrella with a different diverse of people of all different ethnic backgrounds. Because I think this is what Jesus died for. He didn't die for an all-white church or all-black church. He died for a church that we could all become as one in his name and through his blood. And I believe that this is what's taking place now. So my objective here today is to be able to unify all the churches under one umbrella. And if we could do it together and glorify God, then there's a lot of things that we can accomplish within ourselves, within our community, and for one another. So this is a pleasure. And if you saw me wipe my tears from my eyes, it's because I'm overwhelmed with joy. I'm excited to be here. This is an honor. I want to thank Brother Kenneth. This brother right here, he's a good guy. He's a good man. And he's very loyal and dedicated. As a matter of fact, he's going to be at Eastside preaching, not next week, but the week after. So I'm asking you all to come. So give him support at Eastside when he brings his message. Just so you know, we're not as big as you are here. So if we got to sit some chairs outside and put a speaker out there, I'm willing to do that. I just want you all to come support Brother Kenneth. As I mentioned to him before, I understand that your minister is in school, trying to get his degree and things of this sort. So as I mentioned to him, and I mentioned it to you all too, if you ever need me to come and fill in his positions while he's out there doing his work, Eastside Church of Christ, we do not mind coming here to worship until he's done doing what he has to do. And make sure that you guys have a wonderful service and things of that sort. So I'm willing to donate and give my time for the purpose of you all so that we all can worship together and so that your minister can accomplish his dreams and goals and not have to worry about anything not being taken care of here at Southside Church of Christ. So with that being said, you know, it's a pleasure. It's an honor. I'm glad to be here. I thank God for you all. I've been preaching and traveling all over. I've been to Fort Lauderdale. I've been to Jacksonville, Iowa, Missouri. I've done a lot of things in different places. But to be honest with you, this is the first time here ever that I felt something so good. Because the other places I went to, everything was kind of segregated. But when I come, this is the first church I've ever been to where I've seen a lot of different people, and I love it. And excuse me, but this is beautiful. And this is what God wants us to do. So I'm going to go into my message. Before I go into my message, are the Packers playing today?
No.
Good. that way I can take my time then, right? That's good. So a very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he had sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Verse 10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." Verse 11. "For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." Verse 13. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Today my subject is, they call it waste. Jesus called it worship. They call it waste. Jesus called it worship. The word extravagant comes to mind when I read this scripture. The word extravagant is defined as too much, excessive or wasteful, exaggerated, or beyond what is reasonable in price or cost. Extravagant could mean flamboyant or showing, going overboard, doing too much. Our text speaks of a woman we just read gave a gift to Jesus that some thought was overboard, excessive, over the top, and simply too much. Many thought her gift to Jesus was a waste. As a matter of fact, the disciples called it a waste, but Jesus called it worship. Now before we get started, let me first say that when I hear how much money Floyd Mayweather gets for a fight or how much he paid for a car, to me, that's extravagant. Or how much, or how many houses Oprah has, or how many cars she gave away, or how much Andrew Luck walked away from the NFL. I think that's extravagant. Primarily because I don't have it. I probably wouldn't be so upset with Floyd Mayweather if I had it. I wouldn't be so upset with how many houses Oprah has if I had it. But to me, it's overdoing. It's because it's not mine. Often the word extravagant used in this text has a negative connotation. However, when a person expresses his or her love, their worship for Jesus in an extravagant manner, there's nothing negative about excessive worship. There's nothing wrong with our over-the-top extravagant praise. No gift that we give to the Lord Jesus is excessive. No expression of love is over the top. No form of worship can be too extravagant when you think about what God has done for you. The scene in our text, brothers and sisters, are in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John. In Matthew's account, which is the shorter of the three, there is this woman who is unnamed. But John tells us that she is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Her worship this morning has much to teach us here at Southside, Eastside, and all the other local congregations about what our worship should look like. Let's look into these verses and learn how we can worship our Savior with extravagant excess. Let's look at the expense of worship. What it cost this woman to worship. This perfume and this alabaster box, this ointment was produced from a rare plant that grows only in the Himalayan mountains in India. The glass that it came in, the jar that it came in, was from a precious stone found only in Egypt. In the breaking of this alabaster box, two ancient Eastern cultures are in view. Not only is the perfume is rare and expensive, not only is the jar that it comes in is rare and expensive, but she breaks it open. She reveals two ancient Eastern cultures or customs. One is when a person comes to your house and drinks from a glass, you'll break that glass so that a lesser person will never drink from it. When she broke the jar and poured out that ointment on Jesus Christ, what she was saying was a lesser person does not deserve this kind of excess. Not only was it a cultural idiom of breaking the glass when a great person drank from it, but it was a burial ritual. They broke open a jar of myrrh or a jar of frankincense or a sweet-smelling balm, and they would pour it on the body of the person in ointment and anoint them, and then put their broken container in the sculpture or tomb with them. Because after they bury them, with the glass, the ointment that it came in to symbolize how much they loved the one that was buried. That ritual was even used by the masters of art who painted great pictures of art such as murals and great paintings. They would break the paintbrush after they had finished a great painting. So a person would never be able to use that same paintbrush to symbolize that no lesser person will ever be able to use those brushes or that paint. When she broke open that alabaster box, what she was saying is nobody is better than the one I'm pouring this ointment on. And so I want everybody in this room to know that she broke open the box. And the scripture said the fragrance could be smelled all over the room. My question to you today here at Southside is, he's given to the poor. The disciples said, what she's doing, how she is expressing herself with this expensive alabaster box is too much. But brothers and sisters, hear me. Love is always prodigal. Love never counts the cost. Love is always eager to give, and a few people grasp the burnt offering side of giving. Can I make that make sense? There were several offerings in the book of Leviticus from chapters 1 through 7 where they offer a guilt offering and a sin offering and a wave offering. Those offerings were accepted by God, but the greatest offering that they could make was the burnt offering. And the burnt offering meant that whatever they were sacrificing, they were giving it their all. And none of it could be left. Not the inside, the outside. They had to give it all because God would receive it. The smoke from it would get in God's nostrils as a sweet-smelling savior. Because they have given it their all. And when you truly love God, you should always, with no problem, worship God with your all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. You got to give God your all when you come into worship. Love is always giving. Love is always going overboard. There was a mother who didn't know how to swim. Had a baby boy about 3 years old. They lived in a nice neighborhood and their little boy. They bought this house with a swimming pool because her husband said that he always wanted to have a house with a swimming pool in the backyard. But his wife, she was kind of hesitant because she didn't know how to swim. She did not want this swimming pool. Besides, she had a three-year-old child that she had to look after. But her husband told her, baby, don't worry. Don't worry at all because I'm going to teach you and I'm going to teach my son how to swim. One sunny day, while the husband was at work, his wife, who was a stay-at-home mom, was at home with her son and noticed that her son was missing. She called his name, and she got no answer. She looked all over the house, and no answer. And finally, she went out to the back where the pool was and saw her son floating in the pool. With no hesitation, she jumped in, knowing that she can't swim. And before you knew it, she and her son died together. But you see, the part I'm trying to make is love. Don't count the cost. That mother and that baby both drowned. But when I look back at this, what she was essentially saying is, I can't save you, I'm going with you. Because love goes all the way. And when you truly love your child, or you truly love a friend or a spouse, and you truly love God, there's no sacrifice that won't make you stop loving that person. There's no gift that you won't give. There's no praise that you won't offer. There's no worship that you won't send up as a sweet-smelling savior. Because when you really worship God, you hold nothing back. Because love gives it all. Some of you about to make decisions in your life about love. Because some of you don't give too much in worship. Allegiance to Jesus means not to be frugal with your resources, even when the resources can benefit the poor. When you give more money to your motorcycle club or your gang than to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you just told me what you love, because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I don't care how much you teach Sunday school. If you don't give that much to the Lord, that says something to me about who you love and what you love. Because what you spend your money on is what you love. Allegiance to Jesus means not to be frugal with your resources, even when it can benefit the poor. When the woman brought her gift to Jesus, she unmasked the contempt of Judas and the other disciples. And when you break open your alabaster box of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ and let your oil, your blessings pour out in thanksgiving on the head of Jesus, you're exposing people who didn't bring any. Let me say that one more time. When you bring and open up your alabaster box of love and joy, and you share with other people, and people look at you like something's wrong with you, All you're doing is exposing those who didn't bring their love in their alabaster box. And that's why they criticize your praise. And that's why they're mad at you on how you praise and carry on in the church, because they didn't bring theirs. And if you didn't bring anything, don't get mad at me, or don't get mad at the person that's sitting next to you who brought theirs. I didn't come here for you. I came here to pour out my love to the church. I came to praise Jesus. I came to worship God. I came to become your brother and sister in Christ because I love you. So let me now open up my alabaster box. Let me pour it on you. I tell you often, pay attention to whom you sit by that comes to church, because not everybody that comes to church brought their alabaster box. Not everybody here went to pour out their oil. As a matter of fact, they want to see what you're going to do, what you brought to church, so that they can go home and have something to talk about behind your back. But I'm not going to let your expression of no praise dictate to me my expression of how I'm going to praise him. You can worship God quietly, but you can't praise God quietly. If you got something to praise God about, then let that manifestation of your praise come on out in church. Let your love and your joy and your excitement, let those see what God has done for you in your life. Only people who haven't been forgiven much criticize people who praise much. Only those of us who can look back over our shoulder and see where God has brought us from get mad at folks who get excited Sunday morning. Only people who didn't bring an alabaster box can get mad with folks who brought one. But don't you let them stop you from pouring out your love. Because I came to tell you, when you give God your all, he'll give it right back to you. You don't know the price of somebody else's praise. You don't know what it cost them to get here this morning. You don't know what they paid, the things that they went through suffering day after day, week after week, and the sacrifice and the heartbreak and the long nights and hard days and tears that they shed through the course of the week. You don't understand what a person has been going through in the walk of life, that they've been struggling, that life, some lost their job, some lost their family member, somebody died, somebody's talking about, but you don't know what God has done for you. God has brought you your storms, and here it is. Sunday morning, you are need to worship with one another and dove and 200 spirit and the love of God and of the Holy Spirit. You got something to be proud of. You got something to thank God of. But God brought you through that storm of the week, and he brought you here. And here it is, everybody together under one umbrella, loving and comforting God. You got something to be praised about. You got something to be thankful about. I think everybody here need to give God a clap, give Jesus a praise, because now today is the day where every last one of us should stop breaking, open up that alabaster box. Open it up. It's expensive. I've been through the storm and the rain. I had my heart broken. I had people lie on me. I've been misused by the people on me. I've been misused by the people who's supposed to love me. You don't know the price that I paid to shout that way. I shout. You don't know how expensive it's been for me to be where I am right now. And you think I'm going to let you dictate to me how I ought to give God praise? You don't know the price of my love, of my oil that's in my alabaster box. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roar. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of my Savior bidding me still fight on. He promised. That's why I give him the glory. That's why I raise my hands in the sanctuary. That's why I clap so loud. That's why I praise and worship with such enthusiasm. Because he promised never to leave me. Not only me, but you. He promised never to leave us alone. That's the expense of worship. Now, I want you to look with me how she expressed her worship. Her anointing his head rather than his feet is significant. She was making a tremendous statement of who she believed Jesus to be. Because in the Old Testament, only four classes of people were anointed. The anointed priests, prophets, kings, and the dead. And what she was doing in this expression is calling Jesus all four. He is King of Kings. He is shepherd and bishop of my soul. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. And she anoints him before he's buried. Now, brothers and sisters, hear me. This was all Mary's, and she was at the tomb. But not this one. And the reason this wasn't there was because she did what she was supposed to do before the tomb. And when you take care of what you are supposed to take care of before the tomb, you can shout without going to the tomb. You see, when you do what you're supposed to do before the tomb, you can shout at the tomb. I wish I had time to stay right there. The merit of the woman's act with its Christological orientation is not a general act of charity without knowledge of what or who the recipient is, but it is a personal act of devotion and love to Jesus Christ. Her kind gestures was not one of trying to show off, because she had this perfume years before this occasion. And had she wanted to use it, she could have used it at her brother's, brother Lazarus' death. But there was one greater than her brother, Lazarus, and she saved this family heirloom for a special occasion. This was not a meaningless expression of worship. The only way to appreciate what the woman did is to recognize that she alone, of all the followers of Jesus, understood that he was about to give his life on the cross. And she wants him to know before he went that she appreciated him. How many of us today letting God know that we appreciate what he has done for us? How many of us today do something for somebody and don't want another back in return? How many of us today love their neighbors, can forgive one another for trespass or cause great harm to their family and friends? How many of us today as Christians can walk their walk and turn their cheek today and say, God, I'm doing this for you? How many of us today is able to do such a thing as this woman? The disciples didn't get it. The entire week of the passionarity, because when Jesus was talking about going to the cross, they were talking about who was the greatest in the kingdom. Y'all remember that? When Jesus was asking them, can't you watch 1 hour? They were sound asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. And when he died, everybody ran but John, because they were always quick to speak, slow to act. This woman knew who he was before he went to the cross. Mark Gospel says she broke open the jar to pour it out on Jesus Christ. She gave it all. She gave it all. But she didn't dab it on him. She poured it on him. And the reason why some of you can't praise him like you ought to is because some of us just give him a dab of our love, a dab of our time, a dab of our appreciation, a dab of our devotion. But I didn't come here this morning to give him a dab of praise. I came here to pour it all on him, to pour my love on all of you. I didn't come here to put a dab here and a dab there. I came here to break open my alabaster box. And once it's broken, I want every drop of it to fall on every last one of you that came here into worship. I didn't come here to worship anybody in the pews. I didn't come here to worship anybody in my section. I came here this morning, and I hope you all did too, to come and give God your all, to worship. All of my praise, all of my hallelujah. I came to make some noise. I didn't come here to sit quiet. I didn't come here to get dressed up. I didn't come here because I had to come. I didn't come here because I was forced to come. I came here to open up my alabaster box. I came here to pour out my love. And that's what the expense of your praise is all about. I'm about to close, but what I want you all to see is that when you give it your all and when you express it all, it expands you as a Christian. Watch this. This woman appeared 3 times in the gospel's record. And every time she shows up, she's doing the same thing. She's at the foot of Jesus. You want to know why she knew who Jesus was before the disciples did? Because every time you see her, she's in the same place. The first time we meet her, she's at the feet of Jesus, learning. She wants to hear the word. This is Martha's little sister. John tells us, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived in a house together. And Martha, it seems, was the oldest one. She was the bossy one. And we all got brothers and sisters that may be older than us who seem like they're the bossy one that just boss us around and tell us what to do. Well, this is Martha's job. Martha's good at that. Martha's bossing them around and things of that sort. And she was the bossy one. You know how older sisters and brothers are, always pushing everybody around and telling everybody what to do. And Jesus is in the living room teaching, and Martha is in the kitchen with her apron on, and Mary is sitting down at the feet of Jesus. And after a while, Martha starts slinging pots and pans. Martha starts getting mad and everything. And she finally takes that apron off and goes out there with her hands on her hip. And she told Jesus, said, Jesus, tell that girl to come on in here and help me with this kitchen, in this kitchen. And Jesus said to Martha, did you take your medicine? Calm yourself down. She has chosen the good part, and I will not take it from her. The first time we meet her, she's at his feet learning. But the second time we see her, she's at his feet again, but this time she's leaning. Because we meet her again in John chapter 11. Lazarus has died, and Jesus has delayed coming to Bethany for 4 days. And when he finally gets there, somebody goes in the house to tell Martha and Mary that Lazarus is outside. Martha, who is the oldest, who went and went to Jesus, who is the bossy ones, she comes outside, puts her hands back on her hip again, and let her backbone slip this time, and she said, Lord, if you hadn't been here, you could have saved my brother. If you would have been here, he would have been all right. But my brother had died. I'm glad you came, but he's dead now. Jesus said, Martha, are you still not taking your medicine? Take your medication. He said, you're going to see your brother again. She says, well, I know I'm going to see him again at the resurrection. Jesus said, you're looking at what you're looking for. You're talking to what you're talking about. I am the resurrection and the life. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. But Mary, when she gets the word, she does not come outside and put her hands on her hip and let her backbone slip. She says the same thing. She says the same thing Martha said, but she's at his feet leaning. When she was learning, she wanted to hear the word. But now she's leaning because she wants to experience his work. But the last time we see her, she's at his feet again, this time loving. Because when you learn, and when you learn, you start to love. The more I know about him, the more I lean on him. And the more I lean on him, the more I love him. That's why I came in to pour out my love on my alabaster box. That's why I came to pour out my oil on him. Because I learned something about Jesus. And what I learned has helped me to lean on Jesus. And since I've been leaning on Jesus, that's why I love him so much. Because he's done so much for me. He's opened so many doors for me. He saved so many of my friends for me. He fought so many battles for me. Is there anybody here who have learned something that you couldn't learn if you wasn't talking to Jesus? And since you've learned something, when you don't understand something, you just lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, you acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Not only have you learned something, not only have you learned how to lean on Jesus, but you loved him because of what you have learned. You love him because you learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. Is there anybody here had a friend who disappointed you? Learn how to lean on Jesus. Is there anybody here who lost a mother or a father? Learn how to lean on Jesus. So is there anybody here ever lost a brother or a sister, but you learn how to lean on Jesus? And when you lean on him, it will teach you how to love him. Is there anybody here? No, he'll show up and show out in the midnight of your hour. He'll show up when the doctor said there's nothing more that they can do. He'll show up when you've been laid off of your job. He'll show up. And when your bills are due. He'll show up when you don't know which way to turn. He'll show up and make a way out of no way. And when he shows up, you have to show up and come on over to the Lord's house and come and open up your alabaster box of love and understanding. Break open your alabaster box. Pour it out on your family and your friends. Share your experiences and show them what God has done for you through the course of your week, through the course of your trials and tribulations. If he's been good to you, praise him with everything you got. If he made a way for you, break open your alabaster box. If he brought you out of your trials and tribulations this morning, if you made a way, tell him thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for the doors you opened. Thank you for being a mother for me. Thank you for being a father for me. Thank you for being a doctor for me. Thank you for being a friend for me. Is there anybody here feel like I feel this morning? Is there anybody here know him like I know him? Is there anybody here leaning like I'm leaning? Is there anybody here love him like I love him? Why don't you grab somebody? Why don't you shake somebody's hand? Why don't you learn and love them? Why don't you talk to somebody? Why don't you learn and lean and love somebody? You can lean. And when you lean, you can love. And when you love, you break open your alabaster box. You break open praise and thanksgiving. When praises go up, blessings comes down. Go ahead and break open your alabaster box. Don't be discouraged by what people may say, by what the disciples may say. Go on and open up your alabaster box. Don't let folks who don't understand your praise stop you from giving God your best. Hallelujah. Because when you break open your box of alabaster oil and love, you amass people who didn't bring any. And the folks who didn't bring any says, it don't take all that at all. But you don't understand where Jesus brought me from. I'm about to open up my alabaster box. I'm a relational brother. I love my sister. I want you to know everything is good. God is good. Keep praising him. I'm about to open up my alabaster box of love and understanding because God has been here for me. How you doing, sister? I love you. God is good. Open up your alabaster. Take your love and share it with somebody. Go to your man and let them know how much you love them. What you mean to them. Let them know that God is real. Let them shake your hand, sister. God loves you. Brother, thank you for being here. God loves you. Take what God has given you. See, your blessing is not just for you. Your blessing is to take your blessing and show other people that they can be blessed. See, the church got to work the job to do, and if you work the job as one, there's a lot of things that we can do in the community. I'm about to shake your hand, brother. I love you. I'm one of my best part. How you doing, sister? God bless you. How you doing, brother? I'm glad to be here. This is your family. This is your family. When she came, when she opened up her olive box, and they thought it was waste, but Jesus said it's worship, because look what happens. She came as for a memorial to him, but she broke open her alabaster box. Jesus said, I'm going to make this to be a memorial. Check this out. Oh, my gosh. Woo. Jesus said, I'm going to make this to be a memorial for her. So that whenever the gospel is preached, large mentionals needs to be made of this woman. If you want to be remembered, do something extravagant for Jesus. Help somebody who can't help you back. Do good to somebody who can't return a favor. Get out of your way to bless somebody who least deserves it. And watch God memorialize you. This last word, and I'm finished. Some men worry themselves into a nameless grave, while other men forget themselves into eternity. And if it's possible this morning to worry yourself into a nameless grave, stop worrying about your health. Stop worrying about who likes you and who don't like you. Stop putting yourself on Facebook and trying to figure out how many likes you're going to get. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry about things that you have no control over. Learn how to deal with life a day at a time. Stop being stressed over some things, over folks that don't like you. Who cares if they don't like you? That ain't gonna stop you from being who you are. Amen. You do you. You love you first. See, that's the key. Love yourself first. Look into the mirror at yourself. Figure out what it is that you're dealing with, that you're wrestling with. And then ask God to remove you and replace your new understanding, new heart within you, so that you can become a better person. So that when people see you, they can see that change in your life.
Yeah, I used to be that old alcoholic. I used to be that abuser. I used to be on drugs, but I'm a new creature in Jesus. Oh my God, I'm a new creature in Christ now. That's the old me. I don't mind you talking. You know what? As a matter of fact, talk about me. I don't care. Just as long as you tell the truth. See, if you talk about me and you tell the truth, then I'm upset because I was that. I used to be that person. But now I'm about to let my light shine.
Now I'm about to open my alabaster box. And you know what, brothers and sisters? I want you to come along with me. I want you to stop doing what you was doing. And I want you to come along with me. And together we can sit, win and save souls. Together we can look at each other and say, you know what, I used to be that. But now I'm about to open up my alabaster box of love that I've always had, that I always kept with me. And now I never shared it, but now I'm going to start sharing because this is what Jesus did for me on the cross. When he died and suffered and bled on the cross, he died for all of us while we were yet in our sins. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold on to God's unchanging hand. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I'm about to close.
When you hear the word of God, the Bible tells us to believe what you heard. You hear the word of God. You believe what you have heard. This is an invitation now. When you hear the word and you believe the word, the Bible says profess the Lord to members like you are, to open congregation. The Bible Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, if you confess me before my Father, I will confess you before him. But if you deny me before my Father, I will deny you before him. You hear the word, you believe the word, you confess the word. Then the Bible tells us to repent and be baptized. You repent of your sin. Repent and be baptized. It's just that simple. Hear, believe, confess, repent, and be baptized. Is there anybody here today who want to give themselves to the Lord? Is there anybody here today who want to be baptized today? Don't wait, see, tomorrow's not promised to none of us. So don't wait until tomorrow until I'm going to get baptized 2 months down the line. And as you say, you may not be here. God might not spare you long enough to make up your mind what you want to do. The word of God, you heard the word of God. And those of you who are not baptized, and those of you who contemplate on to give yourself to the Lord, don't wait. Let's do it now. Let's do it today. Let's get somebody baptized. And then after that, those of you who have been going through some things, and you want to go and pray, you want to confess, and you want to ask God to forgive you for your sin, open up your alabaster box. Don't worry about what the neighbor's going to say or think about you. You need to worry about what God is going to think about you on the day of judgment. Get on up. Stand up so we can pray for you, for the church to pray for you. Ask God to forgive you for your sin so that you can walk out here knowing that you are okay in the sight of God. As we stand and sing the song invitation. As we stand and sing the song invitation. Those who never been baptized, come on down here. Don't wait. For those who go pray, you can stay in your seat, stand up, or you can come on down here and we will pray for you as we sing the song invitation. Thank you very much.